The family of the painter Albert Namatjira has reached a confidential settlement with the Northern Territory government. Now, the NT government's agreed to pay compensation to Namatjira's heirs through the Namatjira Legacy Trust. You might remember last year I spoke to the man who authorised the full sale of the artist's copyright to a Sydney publisher for a meagre $8,500. Here's an excerpt of that interview with John Flynn, who was the Northern Territory Public Trustee in 1983.
That's my recollection, that there was about 7 years of the original copyright agreement left, and as there was only about less than $1,000 coming in every 6 months, I thought that it would be the easiest way to clean up the estate was to sell the balance of the copyright and then distribute the money to the beneficiaries.
So you had there was an actuarial assessment, the estate was valued at $8,500. That seems extraordinarily low.
Yes, I would have given the ledgers, they were all handwritten ledgers those days, to the actuaries, and I think it was Price Waterhouse then. They were in town, they subsequently left. They provided me, from memory, with a valuation, which I accepted. I think because it was low, it must have been based on the fact that there was only 7 years of the copyright to run.
So you would never have signed an agreement, a sale of the copyright, for a period of 50 years?
Well, that would have been an extra 27 years. And if I did, it was a mistake on my part.
The former public trustee of the Northern Territory, John Flynn, speaking on Away last year. Now, the admissions in that interview certainly helped the case for compensation. Although the Northern Territory government has admitted no legal liability, there is a concession in there somewhere that the trustee, as a public officer, could have handled the sale better. The beneficiaries of Albert Namatjira's estate, his big family, didn't see a cent after the controversial sale overseen by John Flynn. Not only that, the copyright owner Legend Press was accused of stifling the painter's legacy by withholding permission for the artist's best work to be reproduced in books and catalogues. Well, last year, after years of delicate negotiations and a lot of hand-wringing, copyright was finally transferred to the Namatjira Legacy Trust when businessman Dick Smith, a friend of the family that owns Legend Press, stepped in to broker a deal. Now, the terms of the settlement just reached with the Northern Territory government, including the size of the compensation payout, are confidential. But the next challenge is to make a case for copyright to be awarded to the trust in perpetuity, because it expires in about 10 years. Shortly, we'll hear from Mark Liebler, the lawyer acting on behalf of the trust and the Namatjira family. But first, Sophia Marinos from the Namatjira Legacy Trust.
Certainly, it was always in the mix of the campaign goals. Earlier on, it was sort of part of the same mix of getting the copyright back and compensation for loss. As we progressed, the campaign and the negotiation directly with Legend Press really took centre stage. And the advice that we were given was that if that was, as it seemed to be, progressing, that we should really take things one step at a time rather than go in all guns blazing. And that's what we've done. And so really, since that time of the copyright transfer in October last year back to the Namatjira family to be managed by the trust, from that point we then pursued the NT government for compensation.
We know that the Northern Territory Public Trustee, who at that time was a man called John Flynn, who made some admissions to Rosemary Neal from The Australian and to myself about, you know, what he thought he was doing and what he thought, where he thought the copyright was going for a certain, he thought it was going to expire after 7 years. Did that kind of change things? The you know, what we heard from John Flynn in March, April last year, did that change things for you in terms of?
Hugely. I mean, I feel like that moment was the catalyst for everything amping up, you know. Until that moment, there were a lot of brick walls, both in terms of the negotiation with Legend Press and with the government. It felt like it was all mired in, well, we would, it was a business decision and, you know, that's done and dusted and there's nothing you can do about that. So when John Flynn did come out to speak with you and with Rosemary Neal, that was massive. That meant there was a case to be had that was in black and white, in print, and he was the man, you know, he was the actual public trustee. It suddenly went from this kind of obscure, the public trustee, to being a person with a heart and with humanity who, for whatever mistake he made, did come forward, you know, was carrying that weight and did come forward to admit wrongdoing. And so from that point, I think our discussions and negotiations became a lot more tangible and we felt that, you know, we could really get somewhere. And certainly that's when, you know, the pro bono legal support came forward and, you know, the timing was amazing as well because our documentary was about to come out. I mean, he did come out, didn't he, when we were launching the Namatjira Legacy Trust. So the media was amping up around that and it sparked something in him to come forward at that time. But yeah, then that combined with our documentary coming out and the campaign going sort of even bigger in the media and publicly, a groundswell of support emerging. I think, yeah, as I said, that was the catalyst for change. Certainly with these more recent negotiations with the Northern Territory government, while they haven't, you know, I might say they haven't directly kind of endorsed his saying that it was a mistake, I feel kind of right at the centre of them settling with the Namatjira family is an acknowledgement of that mistake.
Mm. Well, yes, certainly we pay compensation because we think it's deserved. Mm. And, you know, I know that the details of the settlement are confidential. We can't even really talk about a figure.
Mm.
But I have read in The Australian, in an article by Rosemary Neal, that we're talking in six figures. When you talk about compensation and settlements, people are always like, how much?
Mm.
Is it significant?
I mean, what I'll say is, as you know, I can't say the figure that's part of the agreement. And in some ways, I think that's a good thing, as we know, like, you know, money is a contentious issue and it is good sometimes for these things to be confidential, particularly at a community level. We're happy. The Namatjira family, there was, you know, a bit of to and fro and the family agreed to the figure. We certainly asked for much more to begin with. We discussed with Copyright Agency. We got them to put a ballpark figure out there based on what we know in terms of the copyright of Albert Namatjira's artworks and what reproductions have taken place over those three decades. But also there's a prospective element or a speculative element that we don't know. And particularly because Legend Press didn't manage it so well, you know, they restricted the reproductions. So, you know, certainly even looking at their books wouldn't have been that helpful. But Copyright Agency looked at other artists of similar status and popularity and then sort of compared that with what has happened and came up with a figure and we put that to the government and it sort of went from there. You never get what you ask for. It became a business negotiation essentially. They came in much lower and we just edged up and up. But to their credit, and, you know, as I've said elsewhere, the negotiation was open and willing and there was never major pushback or like argy-bargy. It was very much, we want to do something about this, you know, we do want to settle with the family. So I thought that the spirit of the negotiation was really positive, which made it, you know, not such a kind of strenuous process as the last one.
Can you let me know what the ballpark figure was that the Copyright Agency Limited? If it is a lot more,
yeah,
say $10 million, I think that's a fair amount of money, you know.
No, it wasn't that high. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that high. Their ballpark was closer to the $1 million mark,
right.
You know, because I guess there is a limit actually to kind of what you can make from reproductions.
My name is Mark Liebler and I am the senior partner at Arnold Bloch Liebler Lawyers. I think it's fair to say, I can say that the settlement was entered into without any admission of liability by the Northern Territory government, but it does provide for monetary compensation to the Namajira family in recognition of lost income, which they would have been able to derive from the copyright over the past, well, 35 years.
And how would you characterise those negotiations with the Northern Territory government? Were they really cordial? Were they happy to negotiate?
Well, they were very cordial. They were very constructive. There was a recognition right from the beginning on the part of the Northern Territory government that something needed to be done here. And we arrived at what both parties considered to be a reasonable settlement.
I do understand, though, that it has to be confidential. So that's written into the agreement that you have, the settlement? The terms have to remain confidential?
Yes, that's correct.
And was that at the insistence of the Northern Territory government or of the Namajira Legacy Trust? Everyone agreed.
Truly agreed.
Mm-hmm. So we know that the public trustee, well, let's say the administration of the copyright in that case, the sale of the copyright, was, you could characterise it as unjust. But there's no admission by the Northern Territory government of even this idea of wrongdoing or of maladministration?
Well, that's correct. But on the other hand, there has been a settlement. It's not unusual in many cases where a wrong has been perpetrated for a settlement to be entered into, but with the relevant party not admitting liability. There's nothing unusual about that. I think what's important is that the settlement has been arrived at, compensation is payable, and the funds will be distributed to members of the Namajira family, particularly those who are there painting in the same style as Albert Namajira himself.
Now, the final question is about this idea of copyright being granted in perpetuity. Are you kind of on board with that? And
very much so. You know, we're going to be working together with the Northern Territory government to see if we can secure appropriate Commonwealth legislation which will facilitate the extension of the copyright for perpetuity. I mean, at the moment, it expires in 2029. You know, that's 70 years after Albert Namajira's passing. But in all the circumstances and given the deprivation suffered by the family, you know, over some 35 years, and given the iconic status of Albert Namajira and his paintings, we feel that this would be appropriate and that it should be secured by Albert Namajira's descendants forever.
Are you aware of any other? I know that in the case of Peter Pan, J.M. Barrie awarded the copyright for the performance, I think, of Peter Pan to the Ormond Street Children's Hospital. Is there any legal precedent in Australia for copyright being granted in perpetuity?
Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean that it can't be done.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
I think that it is a unique circumstance with the copyright to Albert Namajira because of his fame and who he was and what he represented, but also because of the decades of loss. And, you know, that 35 years is the 35 years where the copyright was peaking in value, and now there's 10 years left, 11 years left till 2029 is when it expires. And copyright is a depreciating asset. As you get closer to its expiry, people are less likely to want to pay to reproduce because they'll wait till it's free. So I think that the campaign to have it granted in perpetuity is to acknowledge that loss over many years, and it gains strength because it would be the Namatjira Legacy Trust that continues to manage it in perpetuity, and the purposes of the trust are for the benefit of the community, for the ongoing honouring of the legacy of Albert Namatjira, to support participation in ceremony, you know, to support education and community, intergenerational transfer of knowledge, all these things that are for broader public benefit of the community. It's not about royalties going to individual family members in perpetuity. So like with the case of Peter Pan, it's a charitable cause. So that's why we think there's a really strong case, and Albert Namatjira is such a symbolic figure for Australia that I think it should have some strong sway once politics settles down and we know how to best navigate federally the issue.
Sophia Marinos from the Namatjira Legacy Trust, and Mark Liebler, senior partner at Melbourne law firm Arnold Block Liebler.